Matthew Stuckey here, and I want to make a quick video just kind of explaining to you some tips and some ideas and kind of techniques I use in order to explain internal security, in order to explain once saved, always saved, in order to explain how you cannot lose your salvation when I'm actually preaching the gospel. And so hopefully these can be a blessing to you, and I want to just give you kind of some ideas to do it, because when we're going soul winning, one of the things that people really struggle with comprehending and understanding is that salvation is forever and it can't be lost. And so oftentimes during the conversation, and you know, I do the same thing, I'm showing them early on about how it's just by believing. Once I've shown them they're guilty, I show that it's just by believing and it's faith alone. And I want you to realize something though, that if somebody thinks they can lose their salvation, they're not understanding that it's by faith alone yet. So you might get them to agree it's by faith alone, but if they still think they can lose their salvation, they don't really think it's by faith alone. So I want you to realize that when it comes to preaching the gospel, when you look at the most famous verses on soul winning that we use in the Bible, John 3:16, John 3:36, Acts chapter 16, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, those verses really just kind of highlight everything, you know, kind of in a small form, just hit every single thing that is necessary really for them to end up getting saved. For example, they'll say it's just by faith, that it's everlasting life or eternal life, and they'll explain how it is only in Jesus Christ, all just in a nutshell in those verses. So it's kind of giving you an overview of kind of all the things that are packed in. So when I'm preaching the gospel, after I show somebody that they are guilty and they need a Savior and that Jesus rose again, when I'm explaining, because I'll go to Acts chapter 16, and after that I'll go to John chapter 3 verse 16, then John 3:36, and then Romans 6:23, and if necessary I mix in a few verses along the way as well. But I'll explain in depth all of those verses. Here's the thing, with each of those four different ones, I explain that it's only in Jesus Christ, that it is by faith alone, and that you can never lose your salvation. I don't look at eternal security as a thing that I tack on at the very end after I've explained everything else, and you know, I want to get them to believe this last thing. I do have questions at the end to make sure they understand eternal security, but I've already been explaining eternal security throughout the entire conversation. And so I want to quickly go over exactly how I do that, and maybe it can be a help to you, maybe it can be a blessing to you. But I want to go back to Revelation 21:8 real quickly, and I want you to realize that it is worth spending the time to make sure they understand that they are guilty and they need a Savior. Not to just quickly go over the first couple minutes so you can get to the good news. It's like they need to understand that they're guilty. Revelation 21 verse 8 highlights where it says, "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." You know what? It is important for them to understand that just one sin, one lie is enough to condemn them to hell. Because if they understand that just one sin is enough to condemn them to hell, it's going to make it a lot easier for them to understand that they cannot lose their salvation, because it only takes one sin to condemn you to hell. So if you could lose your salvation, you'd lose it every single day, because the thought of foolishness is sin. So look, it's important. And look, I don't talk about eternal security when I'm talking about Revelation 21:8, but what I do is I make sure that they understand that we deserve hell for just one sin. And you know what? That's going to make them understand eternal security a little bit more easily later on during the conversation. With Acts chapter 16, where it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," what I tell people is this, what I explain as I'm going through the whole thing, once they realize that it says just believe, not live a good life, not repent of your sins, not get baptized, not go to church, but just believe, and I'll say, "So what does it take to be saved according to the Bible?" And they'll say, "Believe." So how do you get saved? By believing. So when do you get saved? At the end of their life or the moment they believe? And then they'll usually say, "Well, the moment you believe." And so I'll say, which of your sins are forgiven when you believe, when you get saved? Is it just the past sins or the future as well? And they'll usually say, "Well, the future as well." So I say, "Well, how many times do you need to get saved then?" And they'll say, "Well, one time." And so basically I'm just kind of going through all these different things just kind of logically so they understand salvation's by believing. And of course I've already spent a couple minutes explaining that it's not just believing Jesus exists, but when you're putting your full trust on him. So when you put your full trust on him, you're saved. So when do you get saved? And it's good for them to understand it's not the end of their life, but the moment they believe. And then it's good for them to understand that it's not just their past sins that are forgiven. It's not just the small sins, but also the future sins as well. And it makes it very easy for them to understand, well, you know, you only get saved one time. Now, when I explain that in Acts 16, sometimes I can kind of see in their eyes and see in their look that they're kind of understanding how this is different now. Because before that time, oftentimes they're kind of thinking, yeah, I've heard this before. But that really helps click with people that salvation is only a one-time thing. And you know what? I've already taught them once saved, always saved, but I'm going to explain it on the next several verses as well. So with John 3:16, the same thing. You get everlasting life by believing, and I'll explain how it's your spiritual birthday. And you're born in a moment, and when you're born, it's not you that does the work, it's your mom. And it's the same thing spiritually. We don't do the work to be born again. Jesus Christ did the work for us. But we receive everlasting life at the end of our life or the moment we believe. Well, the moment we believe, because that's how we receive it. And so you receive everlasting life, so God has already promised you that you're going to live forever. Are you going to live physically forever, or is he referring to spiritual? And they'll say, well, he's referring to spiritual. And so, well, how many times do you need to be born? And it's just like, well, just one time. So I've already kind of explained, you know, everlasting life. Sometimes I'll say, does it say everlasting life as long as I don't do something bad? Or does it say it's everlasting life? They'll say, well, it says it's everlasting life. And so look, I've already explained eternal security during the conversation a couple times, while I've also showed them in those verses it's Jesus alone, and it's just by faith alone. And you can never lose that. So in John chapter 3, verse 36, the same thing. I'll explain how there's two types of people. Those that, you know, do not believe, but they might be nice, they might not be. And if they don't believe, even if they're nice, where do they go? Well, they're going to go to hell. Well, what if they believe, they put their full trust in Jesus, but let's say they commit a lot of sins. Let's say they're a bad husband. Let's say that they're a bad father. Let's say they're a bad wife. Are they going to go to heaven or hell? And they'll say, heaven, because it's just by believing. And once again, it's everlasting life the moment you believe. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So you say, Brother Stuckey, you know, isn't that just kind of overboard, just explaining over and over again that it's the moment you believe, the moment you believe, the moment you believe? Look, sometimes us as believers that have been saved for a long time, we forget how confused we were before we were saved. I was confused about all these things before I was saved. And so people need the repetition to really make sure they get it. So I explain once saved, always saved in Acts 16. I explain, you know, everlasting life, how it's forever in John 3:16, John 3:36, and then Romans 6:23, where I explain about how if you give somebody a gift, is this, can it be taken back? And they'll say, well, no. You know, if it's taken back, it's not really a gift. And what is that gift? Well, it's eternal life. How long is eternal? It's forever. So how many times do you need to receive it? Once. And so here's the thing. I've explained eternal security many times during the conversation. Then I'll ask kind of the ending questions to make sure that they got it. But it's not that I haven't covered it at all, and now I'm going to ask those questions, and then if they don't get it, then I'll explain eternal security. No, I've already explained eternal security in Acts 16, John 3:16, John 3:36, Romans 6:23. Why? Because that is something that's really hard for people to grasp. So then I'll ask them that question about murder. If they were saved and they committed a big sin like murder, would they lose their salvation? And the other thing I do is this, which I forgot to mention. When I'm explaining John 3:16 about how you're born into God's family, I talk about the physical birth and how when you act up, your parents will discipline you on this life. And if you act up more, the punishment is more. If you act up a little bit, then the punishment is just a little. So the punishment meets the crime. But here's the thing. Do your parents ever cast you out of the family? Do they ever put you in a burning oven? Well, no, because they're going to love you forever. But they will discipline you. And I'll say, well, it's the same thing with God. He loves us. We're his child once we believe. But he will discipline us in this life. And the more bad we are, you know, the worse we are, the bigger the punishment. And so I explain that in John 3:16 to explain eternal security. And so after I've done Romans 6:23, I'll ask them specifically on that question of murder. And most of the time they get it right because I've already explained eternal security. It's not something that I'm just bringing up at the very end. I've been explaining it a little bit during the whole conversation. And then I'll ask them about suicide. and they'll usually get that as well. And the reason why is because I've explained how it's spiritual life that lasts forever, not physical life that lasts forever. Now, those follow-up questions on murder and suicide are very important, and whatever specific questions you would ask at the end to make sure they get it, because of the fact some people can be answering correctly, but it doesn't necessarily tell you what's inside of their heart. You want to make sure that they get it, and you want to make sure that they're not confused. And you will run into people, even if you've explained eternal security very clearly throughout the conversation, you will run into people that are still confused, they're still not sure about it, they're kind of hesitant. So it's important to still have those follow-up questions. But my purpose in this video and what I'm trying to tell you is it's good to kind of lay the groundwork for those final questions during the conversation. You've kind of just mentioned how it's once saved, always saved, how it's everlasting life, and you've already been explaining eternal security. It's not just something where you've been talking for 15 minutes and then you try to explain eternal security in 30 seconds at the very end. They're not likely to get it if you do that. It's better to try to explain it during the conversation, because the main soul-winning verses that we use, they explain everything. And I think that's the way that Jesus preached the gospel. They explain how it's by faith alone, but that it lasts forever, and it's only in Jesus Christ. The gift of God, so it's a free gift, it's not works, is eternal life, meaning it lasts forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So it's Jesus alone, it's by faith alone. And being saved actually indicates once saved, always saved, because if you could lose it, you were never really saved to begin with. But it's good to explain that to people because they don't always understand it. So what I'm trying to say is this: when you're explaining eternal security, you know what, that's something you want to kind of explain during the conversation. And don't get this idea that people are already aware of all this stuff. The reality is unsaved people are confused about a lot of things that maybe we've heard preached for years and we kind of take for granted. Anyways, thank you and God bless.